Joe Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an insightful and informal conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Today, Mike and I talk about the conference finals and NHL playoffs, preview the NBA finals. We'll talk a little bit about the PED scandal in baseball that's recently arisen, review Game of Thrones in the pop culture corner, and then Mike will take us home with Mike's beer blast. Mike, how you doing today?
Good, man. It's always good to be talking to you. I love this.
Yeah, this is good stuff, man. This is good. And we're I can't believe it's June already, you know?
I know.
As we wind down with the NHL NBA playoffs, we're going to kind of get into the dog days of summer, but we're going to enjoy the hot topics while we've got them.
Yeah, and where are we? This is 20, this past 20th?
Yeah, I think this is 21. Yeah.
21?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're getting up there, too.
It's really crazy. We're almost at a network TV season.
Yeah, I know. We need to get a soundboard like a typical radio show.
Yes, absolutely. That'll be the next step. So we start with the conference finals in the NHL. I guess we'll start with the West since they played last night. The Kings kind of kept themselves alive by beating Chicago 3-1, made the series 2-1 in favor of Chicago. I think the Kings are like 7-0 at home in the playoffs now. So just looking at that game, do you feel better about the Kings' chances in this series, or do you think Chicago's still too much to handle?
I think Chicago's a really good team. I mean, they got a ton of firepower, and they've just looked pretty sound throughout the playoffs. But the Kings have some crazy stat at winning at home, so it looks like a really tough place to play. I'm surprised that L.A. is as energetic as they are about their hockey.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. But it seems like they love their hockey out there, and I'm hoping for another win because there might be a chance that I'll be out in L.A. for Game 6 if
That'd
it
be
happens.
Cool. Yeah.
So I think that would be a blast to watch, and I think if they win two at home, I still give them a chance. You know,
sure,
you never know.
Mm-hmm.
At least to make it a long series and maybe get to a Game 7. But it just seems like that. I mean, last night they had 3 goals, but the 2 games before that just seemed like they couldn't find the back of the net, you know?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what's going to hurt the Kings just their inability to score. I mean, they got to that 2-0 lead, and they kind of just had to hold on. Because I think the third goal was empty netter.
It wasn't. Okay.
So they just, I think that's what's going to be their Achilles heel, because I think Quick is obviously very good and their defense is good, but a team like Chicago that's so loaded up front, it's just tough to keep them off the board for too long.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And, you know, but if Quick comes up, you know, shows up to play, anything can happen. You know, he's like a Lundqvist. He could take the game single-handedly if he plays out of his mind, too. So they got that going for him.
Yeah, I think for them to win, he's going to have to steal a game in Chicago from them to win the series.
I
agree. Yeah,
totally. He's gonna have to man up and take a hold of a game and shut them down, which is totally possible.
Sure.
But the odds are in the Blackhawks' favor, I think,
just
because of the pure firepower and more seems like a well-rounded team.
Yeah, they have, Taysom scoring and Hose, you know, just certain guys. Hose can score. So they have guys who can back up other guys. So
they're
not too reliant on, you know, just one person to provide the offense, which is what you need in the playoffs.
And they got a solid defense with Keith and Seabrook. So, yeah, they got a well-rounded team.
Yeah, so it didn't surprise me. I figured the Kings would probably do everything they could to win.
Yeah.
You know, game 3. So
absolutely.
I think someone compared it to when you're down like 2-0 or 3-0, it's like you're drowning. Like, you'll do anything to stay afloat. So it's really tough to go up 3-0 on a team. So as good as Chicago was, the Kings. And plus, I think they're just a better home team, obviously. I think they're
playing Rutgers Stadium, man. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, because they're 1-7 on the road in the playoffs this year. So
not doing too good.
No, so they got to find a way to win one in Chicago. I think it's going to be up to their goal.
Yeah, you have to pull that out if you want to get to the Cup eventually.
And I mean, they know what to do. I mean, they won it last year, so they know what they got to do.
Yeah, they've been there before. I think that helps them out too. So, you know, I think they win this next game and they get it back to an even series. I think anything can happen because then you got a 1-1 there, and you know, they pull out that game 6, then you're back at game 7, and who knows? Game 7, anything can happen.
Yeah, I think. I don't think the Kings win this in less than 7 now, I don't think.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, I think if they win it, it's going to be in 7 games. And then on the other side of the bracket, Pittsburgh is in some trouble. I said, at least the Kings, when they went down 0-2, but at least they were coming back home for the next tour. Pittsburgh lost 2 at home to the Bruins.
Yeah. And I don't know what's going on. Do you?
Part of me wonders if Pittsburgh has just met their match.
Yeah.
Because even though I feel like this is like the first time they've been challenged, because even though the Islanders series went 6, I mean, the Penguins are the best. They weren't going to lose that series. They're the better team every game. They just But I think what helped them in that series though is that they didn't have, they could be as freewheeling offensively. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to worry about the defense as much because exactly. You know the Islanders were kind of limited, so they could. But the Bruins aren't the kind of team that you can just get up and down the ice with. They take away the open ice and neutral zone, and
they killed the neutral zone, and they were doing an amazing job about that.
Yeah, so I
shut them down.
And you can tell it's kind of frustrating the skill guys on the Penguins, like you know Crosby's. He's been chirping the refs. That's not really any different than ever. And then I think it was game one. Then the period like Malkin started fighting someone, and so you can tell that they're starting. You know, this isn't what they're used to.
Yeah, and to that point, you know, I was texting my buddy, and like you said, it's almost like a frustration starting to take hold of the team, and they're getting frustrated, and then once they're frustrated, it just seems like a little lack of motivation there towards the end because they're just so frustrated and they're just not trying as hard.
Yeah, and then you also fall into the trap of when the guys get frustrated, people start trying to do it themselves.
Yep.
They stop passing the puck.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it turns into a one-man show. Don't start playing as a team. And once that frustration sets in, which I don't think they've really experienced all year long.
Nope, yeah.
It's tough to do it, especially when you're, you know, in the conference finals. It's a pretty tough time to deal with frustration. So, I mean, it's not looking good when you lose your first 2 home opening games. I think the odds are pretty much stacked against you. So
absolutely, because and it's not like they're just like Boston got lucky in those 2 games. They just beat them up.
They dominated 3-0, 6-1. I mean, yeah, that's the scary part about it. It wasn't a 1-goal game, and you know, you look back at one of those games and say, "Oh, the Pens had so many chances to put it away, but they didn't."
Yep.
It was pure domination on Boston's part. They just played sound, great playoff hockey.
Yeah, they've been doing that the whole way through. I think they were battle-tested in the first round against Toronto. I mean, they had to, you know, overcome that third-period deficit in Game 7.
Yep.
And even though they beat the Rangers in 5, I thought the Rangers gave them some, you know, decent games. So I feel like they've been more battle-tested leading up to this point where the Penguins, you know, they had the Islanders and Ottawa. They just kind of skated right past them. So in their first real test, I think.
Yeah, and to Boston's credit, too, I think Rask has been playing, making some really good saves. So not only has the whole team been sound, the goaltending's been
good too.
Amazing, too. So when you have those combinations, you're not going to be beat.
Yeah, so I think I'd be shocked if Pittsburgh won both of these games in Boston. I think that at best, they maybe win one.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they won both, too. But, I mean, they're such a good team. You know, you look at their roster, and they've got you know, superstar after superstar, so you would think maybe they should be able to pull out one.
Yeah.
But on top of that, if Boston's playing that good and as big and physical as they are, I mean, there's nothing much you can do other than having, you know, your skill players like Crosby and Malkin, you know, just have one of those lights-out games and shine where no one can stop them, so... And then you got the dicey goaltending in the back for the Penguins. I don't even know who they're going to start.
I mean, that's never a good sign.
Yeah, I don't know if it's come out today yet or not, but my guess would be Fleury. I mean, give him a shot. So Volkman got lit up. But, you know, like we were talking a little bit earlier, you can't blame it all on the goalies. Defense has just been atrocious.
Yeah, that's one thing that's tough for Pittsburgh. It's like, you know, at least like we were talking about the Kings. They've got a guy who could maybe steal them a game to get back in a series where the Penguins don't have it. They can't rely on their goaltender to steal a game for them.
Yeah, they absolutely don't have that. And, you know, some of the great teams, they at least have a serviceable goaltender that can do that. And Fleury did it. He won them a cup, but his head's in a different place, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. Like if they start him tonight, I just don't know how mentally you bounce back from being pulled, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's difficult. So that goaltending situation's a disaster. But I'm anxious to see what happens tonight. It should be pretty interesting.
Me too, because I'm sure the Penguins are going to, you know, put up a good fight like the Kings did last night.
I think so too.
That 3-0 hole is one you just don't climb out of in hockey. It's only happened a couple of times. And although it did happen to the Bruins a couple of years ago against the Flyers. So
it did happen. I remember that.
Yeah. So we'll see. So, but yeah, I don't think the Penguins want to tempt fate again. They want to try to get this game, and if they can. If they can find a way to get back to Pittsburgh 2-2, then maybe the...
Yeah, the tides have changed then, I think. But if they only get one win out of this, I think Boston's sitting in the driver's seat big time, as they are right now.
Yeah, yeah, they, yeah, they, I guess we said that they didn't get much, at least from I didn't hear much, you know, chance of winning this thing.
Yeah.
And they've been, you know.
Kind of flew under the radar. I mean, everyone knew they were good.
Good, yeah.
You know, solid team. But it's just one of those things that, you know, they're playing good hockey at the right time, too. You know, all these teams are capable of winning the cup.
Yes.
It's just who's going to play better at the time, and it looks like the Bruins, out of all the teams right now, are playing the most solid hockey.
Yeah, and just, I guess, kind of goes to showing that sometimes, you know, the Penguins, I think, got all the hype going in just because of their high-flying offense, but I think you could probably even recognize as a Caps fan that sometimes you need that balance, and maybe they're being exposed a little bit for not having...
Oh, not sometimes. You need the balance.
Yeah.
If you're not getting deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I've witnessed that, you know, 5 years running, so... So
we'll see how that goes. And then, you know, I just wanted to send a message out for Rangers are searching for head coach now. And I love Mark Messier. They didn't win the cup. They didn't win the cup without him, but I do not want him coaching this team.
So what's your reasoning behind that?
I just think that the Rangers, I think, are closer to a cup than not.
Yeah.
And with a team like that, I feel like they need a guy who's had a coaching gig before.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I didn't want a rookie head coach coming in with, you know, you still have some young players, but you got a lot of veteran players there, too. And they've been close. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a kind of a dicey situation.
Yeah, I don't want a coach finding his sea legs with a team that's looking to win a championship.
I mean, are there any examples of big coaches taking a situation like that and winning a cup immediately? I don't know.
That young, I don't think. I'm trying to think. Not that I can think off the top of my head. Yeah, that just.
So it's not an ideal situation for your boys. So.
Yeah. I'd rather them, there's a couple guys, I think, Phoenix coach Tippett, his contract is up after this year. There's some interest there. Vancouver, let go of their coach. You know, I'm not even really that picky about who the coach is, but I want it to be someone who's...
Yeah, just a veteran coach.
Yeah, I'd be fine with Messier being an assistant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That would be a good gateway into him eventually becoming a head coach.
Yeah.
You know, once your time's done with the talent you have now and you're kind of rebuilding, that's when you transition them over, you know?
Yeah.
So...
So I look at he was assistant coach for a while, and then he got his chance at, you know, being a head coach. But he got his training a little bit before he just took over.
I agree.
Took over to Cap. So I love Mess, and they don't win that cup without him. But I just don't think that a first year coach is what this team needs.
Yep. And this just in, it looks like Vogue-Koom will start tonight. So.
Okay. All right. So they're gonna stick with him.
You were right. And I wouldn't have been surprised if they started Fleury, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully Vogue-Koom can recover from that massacre.
Yeah, and hopefully the defense is a little bit better.
Yeah.
Better in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad. My one good buddy's a huge Pens fan, but, I mean, it is the Penguins.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I secretly cheer a little bit inside every time they lose.
I'm sure. I'm a Caps fan. You can't help it. They just have that rivalry there. So I don't blame you for that.
Going to Penn State, just the entire Pennsylvania sports, anything but Penn State. Like, love Penn State. Went there. Great school. But I can't stand Pittsburgh fans. I can't stand Philly fans. And I think it goes back to me, like, waking up Sunday with a hangover. And it's like... 8 in the morning, and the Pittsburgh and Philadelphia fans are already shouting at each other on the balcony.
Oh, gosh,
on an NFL morning, just doing the Eagles chant. It's just like, I dread both of those teams and their fans. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. They're a good team. You hate to see a team as good as that just, get completely blanked.
Sure, so, yeah.
I've been there, done that, felt that feeling.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and I got a couple of buddies that love them, and they're good guys, so I feel for them.
Yeah, and just as a hockey fan, you want to see the series go long,
Absolutely. You want to see good hockey. You don't just want to see a blowout.
Exactly. So before we get to the NBA Finals, I thought about this at the dinner table. I wanted to propose this to you. Okay, you're running the Caps.
Yeah.
Rangers call you. The king for Ovi, straight up. What do you say?
The king for Ovi?
Yeah.
Oh. That's a tough one. Yeah. I mean, my initial thought is yes, do it. Let's get Lundqvist in there. But I feel like we have some young goaltenders that can be something. And at this point, we've invested so much in Ovi.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like it's just we can't turn away now. I mean, give him. He had a decent year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know,
it's just he needs that. He needs leadership.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's really, really lacking. But yeah, that would be a tough trade.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know why I thought about that, but I just I think on the flip side, I'd be willing to say no just because I think and it's funny because they're both world class talents.
Yeah.
And at times I feel like I know the Rangers, they always need scoring. But I think it's easier to find a couple guys who can kind of make up that production as opposed to finding a goalie, you know, you can lean on.
Yeah, that is true. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, that's a tough question.
Yeah, because you think about – because, I mean, the Caps, I think, are in good goaltending shape anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, but they – and, you know, Holtby has stolen some games too.
Sure.
He definitely has that in him. I think he's just still young. So – I mean, if we were in a Penguin situation, I'd say yes in a heartbeat.
Okay,
you know, just because you could get a goaltender like that, and like you said, you can add some, you know, more firepower. I feel like the Caps still can score, even without Ovi. So, yeah, that's an interesting proposition.
So I thought about the Rangers, or, you know. Rangers get a top flight off, you know, the offensive spark they need to kind of take some pressure off of Rick Nash, maybe.
Yeah. Well, on top of the fact, I wouldn't want you guys to have him.
Too, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's another reason why I'd say no.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd probably stick to no. I mean, as much as he annoys me sometimes, he's, you know, he's been the flagship player of the team
mm-hmm.
for a while now, and we've invested so much time into him. I think you at least give him, you know, another couple years before you start really coming down hard on him, especially after the season he had, you know.
MVP candidate.
He's definitely
an
MVP candidate, and it seems like he might have got it under Oates' system, so it's kind of exciting to see what he can do with a full season under his belt.
I was thinking the same thing,
New head coach, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, cause, I mean, they kind of learn his system on the fly.
Yeah.
This year they'll have a full training camp.
Practice.
Yeah, they'll have a full training camp this time, yep. 82 games to get it.
Yeah.
Together before the playoffs, as opposed to 48. So, yeah, I think they'll be in good shape.
Needs to cool down on the getting drunk on the party boat and stuff.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So take better care of himself.
Just take care of himself over the summer and get back at it.
Cool. So we're in the conference finals for hockey, and then the NBA, we're in the finals, which start Thursday night. I'm not the biggest NBA guy, but I do kind of gravitate more towards the playoff time.
Yeah.
And I find this finals matchup kind of interesting, the Heat and the Spurs, because, you know, Spurs are an older team. This is probably their last stand with, like, the Duncan era, trying to get that fifth ring against the Heat, who were kind of – they won last year. So, yeah, it's just kind of interesting, that kind of old school, new school kind of going head-to-head.
Yeah.
This would have been even more intriguing last year with LeBron going for his first ring versus Duncan going for his last, possibly.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit less sexy just because LeBron's already got one.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, it should be a good series. But the one thing – you know, the Heat wrapped up their series in game the other night on Monday in seven games, but the Spurs have been off since the 27th. So what do you think in that scenario? You got the team who's been sitting around since, you know, but they're rested, but then you got the Heat who played seven grueling games.
I don't know. I think it works to just in any sports, because like I said, I'm not a big NBA guy too.
Yeah.
So, but knowing that the Spurs are an older team, I think it might help them out. They might need that extra rest, whereas a younger team like the Heat could, you know, not use as much rest. So I think it's to the Spurs' benefit.
I think both teams kind of got the scenario that they, you know, I think the Heat might have been a little come off rusty, I think, if they had that long of a layoff.
Yeah.
Whereas the Spurs, like you said, you know, Duncan, he's, you know, in his late 30s now. And
he's aching.
Yeah, so I think this was good for him and, like, you know, Ginobili and everything like that. So I think it works out well for both. Interesting with NBA Finals how they do the 2-3-2 format.
Yeah, that is very weird.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I think it almost helps out the underdog because you get that fifth. Because if it's 2-2, I feel like the favorite should have game 5 at home, not the...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think hockey... the hockey playoff system and schedule is like the greatest one out there, I think.
I agree.
You literally have solid hockey for 2 months straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like the Eastern Conference Finals, they still gauge it, so there's pretty much a game every night.
Every night, yeah.
You know? And that's fantastic. I love it how they plan the whole thing out.
I agree, because yeah, like the NBA, they just stretch it out, and
yeah.
And I also like how hockey, they reseed the playoffs after each round. So if you're a top seed, you get to play the lowest seed left. You know, you're kind of rewarded for
absolutely.
Yeah, whereas
that is by far, you know, I think it's one of the best playoff systems out there.
Yeah, whereas the NBA does a straight bracket where you know. And what's also weird about the NBA playoffs is that. If, like, one round's ready to go, they don't wait for, like, the first round of another series to end. They just start the next round, which is kind of weird. You know?
I think there should be sections.
Yeah.
You know, defined sections so everyone's on the same page before they start the next round.
I'm with you on that. And but, yeah, I think should be good, but I think the Heat will find a way to win this thing again.
Yeah, I mean, it you know, looks like, according to the numbers, LeBron James showed up when he needed to.
Yeah.
It's interesting because people have just been killing him.
I know, yeah.
Throughout this whole series.
Yeah.
So, do you find him, I mean, when he, you know, announced he was going to Miami and stuff, did that put a bad taste in your mouth? Have you hated him ever since then?
I didn't like that. I didn't like that because I felt like he didn't have to go on TV. I felt like he just kind of stabbed Cleveland. I mean, he's a free agent. He could go on wherever he wanted to.
Yeah.
But to announce it, you know, on TV like that, which I thought that was kind of tasteless.
Yeah. But as since then, has it kind of gone away, the bad taste in your mouth?
Yeah. I don't have the same, like, haterade for him as other people. Yeah.
Haterade.
Yeah. I don't have
it. Great word.
Yeah. I know some people just will never forgive that. I feel like that was a bad call on his and his marketing team's part to do that.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, I feel like it's just time to move on. Yeah,
but not even the people around him. You know, ESPN was pushing them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the most evil network in the world.
Yeah.
I hate them. But yeah, I'm a firm believer. I just like to watch people be great at things.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, that's why I'm still a huge Tiger fan.
Yeah.
I will never not be a Tiger fan. So, yeah.
The one thing that surprised me about LeBron, though, is that people think that when he has opt out in his contract again.
Yeah.
That he's going to opt out and go back to Cleveland, which I just seems odd to me that he would do. Like, you know, they were burning his jersey when he made that announcement he was going to the Heat in the street. I mean, I just couldn't imagine him. I mean, I know part of the appeal probably he gets to go back home and try to win a championship there, but I guess it's more of a Cleveland thing. I wonder if they were so ticked off. Would they welcome him back just like nothing happened, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't. I think everyone in that city hates him forever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you ever, man, you know, because it's his hometown.
Yeah.
People were pissed.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't think it would take a long, long, long time for them to warm up to him.
I agree. I know people don't forget that easily in sports, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the last thing I saw, LeBron, I think it was last week during the Pacers series, he got fined $5,000 for flopping. Yeah. I heard on PTI, that's like a minute salary for him.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why the people started ripping him apart because of the flopping thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the younger team goes against the older guy.
Yeah.
The young star versus the old star.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And you mentioned it, LeBron, he kind of has that tiger thing going too. Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of Tiger, I wanted to talk about him quick too. He, I think he shot a 44 on 19 holes last week.
Yeah.
Completely flopped, finished like 8 or 9 over. And people are freaking out. So
I know, yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, I took a step back and looked at it, and I think he doesn't care. I mean, people have bad weeks. All golfers have bad weeks.
Sure.
And he's still just eyeing down those majors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the man has still won, what, 3 or 4 tournaments already this year? You know, he's had one of the best years of his career so far, stat-wise, is like, you know, winning as early as he did, as many tournaments as he did. And the tournaments that he are winning, you know, are the Memorial, the Players. They're huge tournaments.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
He's not winning the St. Jude Classics of the world.
Yeah.
He's winning all the major Keystone events this year. And I can't believe he's going to come out and fire a 44 on the front nine of Marion. So, but he's not. I think I read he's never played the course in competition. So it'll be very interesting to see.
Sure.
And they're saying this is kind of a year for anybody to go because not many people have played it, and you know, an amateur could easily come in and shoot a good score too. Yeah. So, and this is what this golf tournament is built for, is really the amateur golfer. They have the biggest sectional qualifying of probably any sport out there. It's always cool. They call it the longest day in golf was Wednesday of this week, and it was all the sectional qualifiers. And it's really cool to see all the stories of these young guys trying to make it into the U.S. Open, and they've got sectional qualifiers all over the country. So I definitely watched the Golf Channel for like 4 or 5 hours and watching all of it, because they all come down to a playoff, and there's 10 guys in the playoff and only 2 spots left.
Wow.
So
yeah,
there's some really cool stories. But back to the Tiger thing, I think you know, it's his major. He has all 4 of those dates start on his calendar every year. I think he's going to show up to play. And yeah, I think he'll be in the hunt, and I don't think there's any way he misses the cut.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't think so either. Yeah, I think you made a good point about the he's kind of focused on, you know, those 4 tournaments each year. You know, the other ones are kind of tune ups, I think.
Yeah,
if he wins some, great, but I think he's at this point of his career, he's got his mindset on what he needs to do.
Yeah, and the interesting feature of this course is they don't have flags on the poles. They have wicker baskets.
Oh.
So it's a completely different, unique look. I'm not sure where that tradition came from, but I'll read up on it before we have our open preview.
Yeah.
Although we're traveling, I might not be able to pull that one off. Yeah. But hopefully we can pull off an open preview. If not, we'll definitely talk about the open next week.
Yeah. That'll be good. That'll be absolutely good. And then we might as well keep going with the controversial athletes. We got this morning broke that, or I guess late last night, ESPN reported that this Biogenesis, the guy who runs that clinic, is cooperating with Major League Baseball, and it's got like 20 guys on its list, including Mr. Alex Rodriguez, who just never seems to be able to avoid trouble. It's unbelievable.
So, the guy's guilty. Has he admitted guilt yet?
I guess, I assume so. If he's willing to cooperate with, A-Rod. Oh, no, with this, no. He's gonna,
he hasn't.
No. He is gonna, I read a story this morning. He's gonna do whatever, you know, to clear his name, whatever it costs with lawyers.
Yeah, but if you got the guy running it in records, there's nothing you can say to negate that, so.
That's what I'm curious about, is what kind of proof does this guy have?
Yeah,
I mean,
it'll be interesting to see what he has. But they're saying that it could, it sounded like something was going to happen.
Yeah.
As early as the All-Star break, they can start handing down penalties. So.
Yes. So I saw that today, and it's like, geez. But yes, I'm curious having like A-Rod's name in ledger book isn't enough. I mean, he's got to have like, you know, checks or something. But to me, he's got to have something. If he's willing to cooperate with Major League Baseball, he must have something.
Absolutely. So what does that do to A-Rod? Does that pretty much finish his career? Is he at the end of his contract?
No, he's got like 4 years.
He's got four years left.
This, yeah, it was a bad.
Is he still making $27 million?
Year?
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, after this season, the Yankees owe him like $86 million.
Jeez, almighty. And his body's falling apart. Right?
Yeah, he's coming off a hip surgery.
Oh boy,
so
that's a disaster for your boys.
It really is. They if he like they're talking about 100-game suspension, he'd be done for the season.
Yeah, that's over.
Yeah,
season's gone. And then you got 4 more years left, huh?
Yeah, and that's why. And I just think it was a bad contract because he signed that 10-year deal with Texas.
Yeah,
and he got traded to the Yankees in 2004, and he had an opt out, which he did. So he wanted to try to, you know, I don't know why he opted out. I mean, he's already making $25 million a year.
Yeah,
and I remember their general manager, Cashman for the Yankees, said if he opts out, we're not going to re-sign him. And he got overruled by ownership because they were just singing dollar signs. So they thought A-Rod. They thought it was clean, and they wanted to see him break like home run records.
Yeah.
In a Yankee uniform, which would have been great for their network and the ticket sales and stuff like that, and it just totally backfired on him.
So, is there any way for them to get out of the contract for the last 4 years, or they stuck to it?
I think there's not much they can really do. I mean, they could try to maybe try to play up a fraud thing, but I don't think there's much they can do.
How much did he make in Texas?
In 2000, he signed, it was a 10-year, $25 million, yeah, $250 million contract.
So he's made a half a billion dollars for the last 20 years.
Probably close, yeah, because...
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, because when he got traded to the Yankees, after 07, he opted out, and then he basically, he's making the same amount of money. I think he's making like $27 million a year now, but yeah.
Completely off topic, just because we're talking about the money issue, I read today Judge Judy makes $45 million a year, and she works 52 days a year.
Wow.
That's not even fair.
That's really not fair.
So that puts her as like the highest paid actor celebrity out there. I thought that was absolutely ridiculous.
That really is. That is, I had no idea. I know, you know, show syndicated, so that's pretty good money there. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I saw yesterday that Jim Harbaugh and his dad were in the audience.
Oh, were they?
One of her tapings, yeah.
Gotta go to a Judge Judy taping when you're out in LA, I guess.
I guess so. Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more the ratio, the amount of money for the
amount of work. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like 70 years old. She doesn't need any more money.
Yeah.
She's been making that amount of money for a long time. Makes complete sense.
Yeah. So we'll see what comes out of this. I said the MLB, the news now is they're seeking suspension. I mean, they got to obviously get proof and stuff like that. But, I don't know what the Yankees are going to do about A-Rod. I mean, let's say all they can really do is, you know, they can release him and just pay him off the rest of the money. But other than that, there's not much else they can do. I mean, they're just hoping that he can come back and just be some of the player that he once was.
You hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really has no choice right now, so that sucks.
Yeah, it really does. I saw that. It's like it's kind of like you're almost not surprised anymore when you see stuff like this.
Yeah, it's everyone's when you're talking about that much money, you know, $25 million a year. I think anyone's gonna try as much as they possibly can to be as good as they can.
Sure. Yeah.
I've always said the same analogy. You know, most corporate CEOs in this country, they made some bad decisions to get to where they were.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And it's not that, you know, athletes, actors, all of them, they're in the same boat. When you're just, I think money does things to you. Things to you.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about large sums of it.
Absolutely. Because I think he just probably, when he signed that big contract, he felt like he had to live up to it.
Yeah, he had to live up to it. He had to perform, you know.
Which it... It's going to sound crazy, but it's almost like admirable, not the cheating, but just the fact that he felt like he had to, you know.
I completely agree. I mean, at least he was putting forth all of his effort.
Yeah, because he had the money. It's guaranteed. It's not like he had, you know, if he didn't live up to the contract, you know, he still was going to get paid. So the fact that he felt like he still had to, do, you know, live up to it was, it's an interesting mindset that he had.
What are your thoughts on the whole Hall of Fame theory? Should there be a separate wing for this whole steroid era, or...
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. Just
kind of a little asterisk saying,
yeah,
hey, these guys were great, but they did it a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be totally opposed to that because I think some of these guys, like, I think it helps, but you still have to be a great player to play at that level.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that boosted their stats, but without it, they still would have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially someone like Barry Bonds. He was great before he ballooned up.
Totally.
So A-Rod, yes, we'll see where he... what he does next. So I think we've come to the pop culture corner portion of the program. Game of Thrones on Sunday. I mean, there's not much to talk about besides the last 10 minutes, right?
Yeah. It was unbelievable. I just didn't, I knew they were going to die. Rob was going to die eventually.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it would be that quick, and I didn't think everyone would die.
Yeah.
That was the real shocker. And I read in the actual book, he actually doesn't bring his wife.
Yeah, I heard that too.
The dinner, which would make sense, you know, but I think they just added it in there for shock value.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because there probably wasn't much for her character to do after he was killed on
and
the show.
And then the ultimate irony is the girl he ends up marrying is actually beautiful.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he was probably holding her the whole time and doing that as kind of a test of trust, you know.
Yep.
So... Yeah, that was really interesting. I'm kind of sad because I really, really liked the family.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, I really liked their storyline. So I'm hoping Daenerys can do it for me now. I feel like she's the only the only kind of good-hearted person that you can kind of fight for right
now. Yeah, I think so, too.
So, it'll be interesting to see what she does. And, yeah, it's sad that it happened so quick. But I knew going into it, you know, I had heard that's why these things were kind of so popular, as he was known for taking, you know...
Sure.
A lead character that you loved and killing him off. And we still got the hope for Jon Snow, though.
It's true,
so
yeah.
I like his character a lot. What did you think about him racing off from his lady?
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of put in a tough position where he couldn't really grab her, you know, and take her, you know. So I don't know if he'll try to come back for her. Or if
Do
she
you
want...
think that comes back to bite him? Do you think that makes her bitter?
I think so. Yeah.
I think the look on her face was kind of shock, but I could see... You know, that it definitely could turn into bitterness, too, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So that storyline will be interesting to see how it plays off. And then poor little Arya, like, what's going to happen to her?
I know, she's kind of, yeah.
I was almost looking forward to her, like, because I thought her character was kind of a little bit annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, she'll get back with the family, and then, you know, we won't have to deal with her much more any longer. But now I'm sure she's still going to have a pretty prevalent role in the series.
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
Because she's kind of, her and Jon Snow are the last standing kind of Stark people.
Yeah, because, Bran's still.
Bran, that's right.
But him and his brother, they're still kind of young, though. I mean.
Yeah, and that's another annoying storyline.
Yeah, I agree.
Too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what are they even going to do now?
I guess technically, is Bran is the heir to Winterfell now, I guess? So, yeah.
And he can't walk.
Yeah, so that's... Yeah, so, yeah, it was funny. That portion of the storyline was... Yeah, it's never been very interesting to me this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm trying to think, and I'm not sure... And then, like, same with, like, you know, we haven't seen Theon in a couple weeks, which has been fine by me, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of just... It was just the same thing over and over again with him just getting tortured and...
Yeah.
And then... But, it's funny. I thought with that final scene with, you know, the wedding and stuff like that, I thought Michelle Fairley plays... Cat Stark. I thought that was an awesome performance by her at the end.
Yeah.
She was really good.
I thought so, too. Very good. And I thought they did a great job of hiding it, too. I mean, they went through most of the wedding.
Yes.
And, you know, not till the end. So at that point, you're like, okay, nothing's going to happen this episode. But we should know better by then. Better by now, you know, that they're going to drop something on you at the very end.
Yeah, it only takes a couple minutes. Yeah. Like you said, it was just so quick.
Yeah, it was really quick.
I mean, it's the way they went into, they just started stabbing poor Talisa in the stomach, and it's like, oh, you know, they just, yeah.
Yeah, and then the final neck slice at the end, mm-hmm. that was pretty intense, too.
Yeah, like you said, with no music, just the credit, fade to black
credits.
Yeah,
when they just played it back and played the credits, too, that was pretty jarring, too.
It added to, like, the mortality, I felt.
Yeah, you kind of sat there and pondered it for a little bit, and you're like, wow, that just really happened. There's a great YouTube video floating out there. I don't know if it's was staged, but it's a compilation of like home cell phone videos of people on the couch watching the episode.
I heard about
and their
that.
Reactions.
I heard about this.
I mean, it's got millions of views already. Yeah. And somebody spliced all the reactions together. It's pretty funny.
I'll have to watch
someone.
It. I heard about this.
Yeah.
Were you bummed at all when, Jorah and Daenerys' crew went to, you know, that castle and they took out the first round of guys and they were surrounded again? You didn't get to see that second wave of them taking everybody out?
Yeah. So, yeah, who knows what happens? Because it cut off. They never went back to it after that, right?
They came back and said that the city was, victory was theirs.
Oh,
they came back.
I don't remember that.
They
part.
Came back kind of, they were kind of bloodied up. But
That's right.
Because they took out the first wave of guys.
That was no fun, because that could have been a fun scene.
Yeah.
You know? Like I said, I feel like we've been waiting for so long for more and more action.
Action, yeah.
And even like last night, it was shocking, but it wasn't a ton of action.
No.
You know, it was really quick. Like you said, a couple minute hit.
Yeah.
I want to see like an epic 40 minute battle.
Like last year's ninth episode with the Blackwater, right?
Yeah. Blackwater episode. Yeah. I want to see something like that. And I think that's maybe what I just keep on relating it to, that episode. And, you know, I thought that was a really cool episode.
I did too.
So I always compare the next episode to probably that one. But yeah, I'm assuming this next last episode is going to be pretty wild.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm hoping so. I wonder when we're going to get Daenerys interact with the rest of the the characters. It's, yeah. She's been kind of off on her own island for just, what, 3 seasons now.
Yeah. She's walking towards King's Landing.
Yeah.
Just taking a while.
I know. A long time. Jeez Louise.
Yeah. But I think it'll all come to a head here eventually.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's got a huge army now and then her dragon. So she's...
Yeah. She's ready to take over the world.
Yeah.
And then half the people in King's Landing don't even believe in dragons anymore. So yeah. They're going to get a rude awakening.
Yes.
When those dragons come to town.
Yeah. Yep, that. And I think they, you know, like the Lannisters, they assume the two younger Stark kids are dead. You know, they assume that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I'm excited to watch the final. The final episode is this week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We haven't had... Jamie in like 2 weeks either, so I'm looking forward to, because he hasn't. I'm looking forward to is him reuniting with the rest of his family and see how they react to his missing hand and stuff, and see if they take vengeance on, you know, that too. So
I'm just waiting for the fall of Joffrey. You know,
yes.
Eventually it's going to come out that he's a bastard child.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a bastard child, but inbred.
Yes, yeah,
and
not the rightful king.
He's not the rightful king.
Yeah,
and that'll be a really cool scene to watch.
Because he doesn't seem like he takes bad news too well. So
yeah, no. But I can't wait to see him when he finally realizes he's powerless.
Yes, yeah, yep. Because he's been so, you know, so cocky for, you know, for so long.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I was it was a good closing to that episode. That was just totally caught off guard. Even when they closed the door up.
Yeah.
Even then, I still wasn't like, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. That happened.
Yeah, it was good stuff. So the box office, I finally got around to seeing, The Great Gatsby, which I've been looking forward to as my favorite book that I've read. And it's just a quick review. I thought it was okay. It's just, it's funny. It's tough to see a movie based on a book that you like and try to separate the book.
Yeah.
Cause as opposed to just watching the movie, you're comparing it to like the book the whole time.
Exactly.
But I thought it was okay. I thought they stayed pretty loyal to it.
Mm-hmm.
They took a few liberties with the Nick Carraway, the narrator. In the book, he's just like the narrator, but in the movie, they had him narrating from like a mental institution. Like he was kind of telling a story to his shrink.
Interesting. That's weird.
Yeah, I thought they kind of sold him out in that respect. I thought it was kind of like almost like lazy screenwriting.
Yeah,
they could have just had Tobey Maguire just doing a voiceover. They didn't have to have him, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, it's almost makes me wanna, from like, so for Game of Thrones, for instance, I'm watching it on HBO, but I'm refusing to read the books because I've now been caught up in their storyline.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be comparing it to the book, because every time I've read a book and watched a movie, the book's always better.
Exactly,
Hunger Games, extremely disappointed in it.
Yeah.
I probably thought it would have been a pretty good movie if I had not read the book.
Exactly, yeah.
So maybe the new method should be watching the movie first, and if I like the movie, then read the book.
Yeah, that's what I did with The Hunger Games, actually. Yeah, I did it in the reverse. But although I'm reading the second book now, and I'll be interested to see
What do you think about the second book so far?
It's been pretty good. I'm like probably about 50 pages in. So,
I mean, I think the first one was the best out of the series. I thought the second was cool, and then the third just kind of different.
Okay.
But, I might stick to movie first, then book from now on, mm-hmm. because I don't think there's ever been a book-movie combo that's kind of lived up to it.
Yeah, it's just so tough, because I think the book can get into more detail and stuff like that and everything.
And then you just almost get mad about how they left all, you know, parts that you personally liked out of the movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I heard it was, you know, I heard the same thing, all the reviews of The Gatsby, that it was so-so.
Yeah, they're all, mixed reviews. I didn't have high expectations for the movie itself going in. I thought Leo was great.
Leo was good.
I thought he was good.
Man delivers every time.
He does. I liked him a lot. I thought the movie kind of dragged in the beginning until he came into it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's about him, so it's just kind of, So it's just, I thought it just kind of dragged. And I think also because for me, I know the story, so I'm just kind of waiting for when's Gatsby going to show up.
I think Leo's great. He literally can pull off any type of character.
He can.
You know?
Did you see Django Unchained yet?
No, I have not.
You have to see that because he was really good.
He was really good in that.
I mean, he's
a completely different character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sign of a true actor right there.
Yeah, and I think it all started with Growing Pains, you know?
How did that happen?
I don't know, because I think I remember someone saying, like, even watching that show, you could tell that he was like head and shoulders above everybody else in the cast. You could just tell this kid's going to be
something special.
Yeah. I'm not like sorry I went to see it, but yeah. Like I said, my expectations weren't that high going in, so that kind of helped. I think if I had gone in opening weekend, not reading any reviews, I might have been let down a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was okay, and like it's one of the movies that no matter what, I would have paid to see it.
Yep.
So I thought the cast, Capra was good. I thought Carey Mulligan and Tobey Maguire were both good in it too. So. You'll see another 20, 30 years they try to do it again. See
some,
I think it's one of those movies that it's just tough, or books just tough to capture on screen, where I think most books are probably hard to do that.
Yeah.
So coming up this weekend, I guess the big movie coming out is the Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn, The Internship.
Yeah.
This is a movie I personally don't think I would pay to see that. That a movie you would... You catch it, we're watching, like, just flipping channels on cable and it came on. Do you think
I'd definitely catch it on cable, but I think going into the movie, unless it's like a comedy, like old school that just looks like overly the top funny, or the original Hangover looked amazing too. I think I kind of reserve movie watching for big motion blockbuster films. Like the new Superman that's going to come out.
I'm with you on that because, movies are just so expensive to go to now.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very picky about what I pay money to see.
Yeah.
And I think I did go to the theater to see them in Wedding Crashers.
Yes.
I did pay to see that, but I'd hold off because I feel it's one of those movies where all the funny stuff we've already seen in the trailer.
Yep.
And so, I like them both in Wedding Crashers for most of that movie. I mean, I thought the middle part of that movie got kind of slow and kind of sappy, but.
Yeah, I still liked Wedding Crashers.
I did too, yeah.
I thought it was a good movie.
So same with me. I don't think I'll pay, but if I'm like flipping channels in like, a year when it's on cable, I'd probably watch it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the concept is interesting. It's, just the job market these days, I think it's what people probably have to do almost is.
Yeah.
You
got to pick and choose.
Yeah.
So Superman's your next big one you're going to see?
Yeah, next that comes out next Friday.
Yeah. You say you sleeping or sitting in line the night before?
No, I am. I'll be going Friday after, like Friday morning or Friday afternoon though. Yeah.
Oh, will you?
Yeah, I'll go with that. I did the same thing for The Dark Knight Rises last summer.
Yeah.
Took off on Friday and went to see that. So
fantastic.
Okay, I thought about doing the midnight.
Midnight showing
on Thursday night, but I'm like, I did that one. I did it for Spider-Man 2. I did that.
Yeah,
it was fun. But the only thing I worry about is just I'm like 10 years older than now.
Yeah,
and as good the movie might be, I'm just afraid I might fall asleep.
Well, yeah, and that it seems like you get a lot of annoying people.
Yeah,
too, and it's just really loud and noisy. I had a buddy that used to work at a movie theater, and we used to go to all the midnight releasings for free.
Okay,
and that was fun.
Yeah,
like you said back then. When you're, in your late teens, early 20s.
Yeah.
I don't think really big, would be a big fan of it now, trying to keep the eyes peeled at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be my concern. I hate to pay, $12 for a movie, then I wake up 2 hours later and I miss the whole thing.
Yeah, but I like the taking off the day of going to see it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Catch a matinee.
So I'm looking for it. I'm excited for it, but my expectations, I'm keeping them low because Superman Returns was all right.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be let down again. But I watched, there was like a 13-minute like featurette, like a behind-the-scenes type thing on it. It looks like they've done a pretty good job with it.
And so they're just revamping the whole
series. It's origin story again, yeah.
So just starting anew.
Yep.
And hopefully it can turn into a trilogy like Batman.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. It's sad to see that one go because I thought that was...
It was so well
that
done.
That was great, The between that and the 80s with Michael Keaton, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
those are the two Batmans that stand out in my mind.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and like I said, and Christopher Nolan, who did the Batman, this recent trilogy, he's one of the producers for the Superman, so I have pretty good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because Superman usually hasn't ever been as dark as the Batman movies were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see the dark twist on the Superman series.
Yes, so yeah, I'm excited for that. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. We saw that preview for that movie, that Purge movie.
Purge, that's what it was.
Where it's just like 12 hours of unconsequential crime and stuff.
Yeah, become basically anarchy.
Yeah,
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, because I read a little bit about the plot. It seems like it's futuristic.
Yeah.
And I think like crime is at like it's like a very low crime rate.
Yeah.
So to keep it that way, they let people just go hog wild for 12 hours and there's, you know.
And then they get it out of their system.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen the previews yet, but I've heard a couple radio spots. Mm-hmm. And the radio spots are definitely good because it gets you, they're very intriguing.
Yeah.
It gets you interested. But that, I mean, I feel like that's another, that's kind of like a gimmicky storyline.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not going to be Oscar worthy.
Oh, no, no.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
But that's something I wouldn't drop my money on going seeing in the theaters.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah.
We're talking about who's in it. I know the female lead is actually, the actress plays Cersei on Game of Thrones.
Oh, really?
Dana Hadley, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think Ethan Hawke is the main actor in that. Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, I heard that plot. Well, that just sounds.
Yeah, it's a really interesting concept.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see, because I think I'm curious to see what the reviews are.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they are too.
Yeah.
Maybe it can pull a Fast and Furious out of the blue too.
Yeah, you never know. That's still kicking butt.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And a quick aside, as far as sequels, I saw the other day. I can't believe they're doing a Grown Ups 2.
Are they?
Yeah.
Interesting. I can't believe they greenlit that one, too.
Although, because I went on Wikipedia, I was curious about the first one. It did, like, $270 million at the box office.
That's unbelievable to me.
So, I mean, because when you think about the cast, it's like a who's who of comedy stars, but the movie itself looked awful.
It was, like, very depressing. It was not a good movie.
Yeah.
I didn't like it at all. But whatever, if you're going to make that large sum of money.
Yeah, they're going to roll out a sequel.
It was like that, what was that movie, the Valentine's Day or whatever? Some chick flick date movie.
Yeah.
There was literally like every Hollywood celebrity was the movie.
It was that one, and they did a New Year's Eve one too,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. New Year's Eve one too.
Yeah. And it was like, everyone who you've ever seen in a movie was in those.
Was in the movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
That was absolutely wild. And then lastly, I guess just want to see if, as we're at Wednesday now, we're inching towards the weekend, if you had any brews for anyone to crack open as they kick off this summer weekend here.
Absolutely. I had a great weekend up at my sister's place in Pennsylvania, and I had alluded to it earlier, my brother-in-law had went to Chicago and brought home some gumball head, and he ended up saving some for me, so I got to drink some of that beer. It's just Three Floyds traditional IPA, and it's absolutely delicious. So if you're ever in the Chicago area, like I said before, try anything from Three Floyds. Another brewery that I completely forgot about that makes great beer is Great Lakes Brewing Company, and they're out of Ohio. And I had their Lake Erie Monster over the weekend, which is their double IPA. So it's kind of a bigger beer. It's probably 10 or 11%. But even though it's heavy on the alcohol, it's still pretty smooth.
Okay.
And you don't get that alcohol-y taste to it. It's sweet and hoppy and absolutely delicious.
Nice.
And then the other beer that really stuck out in my mind was Black Currant Rising, and it's from the Naked Brewing Company in Huntington Valley, PA. And I hate currants. I've always never liked the taste. I had a Dogfish Head beer that had some currants in it before. So when I saw the name, I thought I wasn't going to like it. And my brother-in-law insisted on trying a pint of it, and I did, and it was absolutely delicious.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, if you see anything from Naked Brewing Company, you're up in PA. I know one of their beers is good, and most likely if a brewery can brew a solid beer like that, you know, the other beers are going to be pretty good, so. Those are my recommendations. Lake Erie Monster and Black Currant Rising, if you can get your fingers on it.
Sweet.
Stay tuned for next time. We'll give some more beer updates and anything I have done in the beer world. Thinking about brewing a new batch here in the coming weeks with my buddy. We're not sure what type of beer we're going to brew yet. And I think next time I go up and see my brother-in-law, we're going to try to brew a beer, too. So I have some home brews coming up, too.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that'll be good. So this has been good. Yeah, I was funny when we were putting this together. I didn't think we were going to have much to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, but just, I guess, just with the, you know, it's a good, exciting time. So with hockey, NBA playoffs, and the, you know, that PED scandal broke, you know, late last night as far as baseball.
Yeah, I think we're getting you. I sit here and talk for another hour.
I know, too. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah. It's fun. It's just having a conversation about the things that we love.
Absolutely. So we appreciate the support from our listeners. As always, yeah, choose an email with questions, comments at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter @thegdpodcast. And for Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton, and we will talk to you next time.